We're very glad to see you at the Gospel service tonight. We want to welcome you warmly in the Saviour's name. Hymn 58 is our opening praise this Sabbath evening at the start of our service. We're thinking this evening of John Wesley. Charles was the hymn writer in the family. And this is a well-known hymn of Charles's, "Jesus the Name High Over All, in Hell or Earth or Sky, Angels and Men Before It Fall, and Devils Fear and Fly." So the hymn 58, and we'll ask you to stand as we sing the verses together, please. Together just in prayer. Commit our meeting just onto the Lord. Pray that He'll guide us through the service. Want to encourage you to pray tonight. We need your prayers. We need the united prayers of the Lord's people for the service. And let's together seek to pray down the blessing of God just upon the meeting now. Heavenly Father, we do seek Thee in prayer. We're glad we can lift our hearts to the throne of heavenly grace. We thank You, Father, the way is always open for us into Your presence. Want us that we know the power of God upon even this time of prayer as we commit the meeting to Thee. May the Spirit come down now and rest upon us. We thank You, Father, for our Saviour, the one of whom we have been singing. We have come tonight to this meeting to lift up the Lord Jesus. We acknowledge, Father, at the outset of the meeting that it is our desire that in all things that He will have the preeminence. We pray, Father, that He will be lifted up before the people in every part of the service, but especially when we come to the ministry of Thy Word. We thank You for the Scriptures. We praise Thee for this book that You've given to us, what a treasure it is. And the book especially that tells us of the Lord Jesus. Remember that He said when He was here on earth, they are they which testify of Me. And Lord, our prayer would be as we read Your word, even day by day, You'll open our eyes, take away the blindness. And we pray that You'll give to us a sight of Christ, our prayer would be, show us thyself. We plead, Father, with those Greeks that came those many years ago and say we would see Jesus. That's our desire, Father, even as we come to the service tonight. I want to pray for the church, the witness of the gospel here in Armagh City. We pray, Father, that you will come and be with us in coming days through this winter's work. We pray that we'll know thee blessing and prospering. We do thank you, Father, for prayer that has been answered. We praise thee for encouragements that you've given to us in recent weeks and recent days. We want to acknowledge that, Father. We pray that there will be a continual adding to the work here. We pray that you'll be pleased to continue to bring in others from this city and from this district. Let there, Father, be an increase of the work in every department. We do pray, Father, for the children's works, the Bright Hour here, also down in Killaloe. Thank you for our workers and our leaders. Thank you for their diligence and their love for the boys and girls, the time devoted to bringing the gospel message to them. Lord, we want to cry. There will be a gathering of the boys and girls of the city and of the village and community there at Killaloe into those meetings. We do pray for our Sunday school and Bible classes. We ask, Father, that you'll add to them. Be pleased to give the increase. We thank you for every child. We thank you, Father, for every young family of this church and congregation. Bless them in these days. We realise, Father, even as we thought in the message this morning, children going to school, things that they've been taught that are unscriptural, completely against the teaching of your word. Help, Father, the parents, as they bring up the little ones in the days in which we live, give them help, even as they answer the questions of their children, to build them up in the truths of your word. But we're praying, Father, send in others to the church, send in others to the meetings, build up the Sunday school. We pray that you'll help the teachers, our superintendent, our Bible class teacher as well. Lord, undertake in every department. We realise how important it is to teach the little ones the things of God. And Lord, our prayer would be that you'll save the children early. We pray, bring them to Christ, do in their lives what you did in the life of Samuel. Remember, Father, how you spoke to him so powerfully, savingly, when he was still a lad. And Lord, that would be our prayer for all the children of this congregation. Our prayer, Father, would be that our families would be one to Christ. Our families would be united. We pray, Father, save us from broken family circles. Lord, for those that are not right with thee in our families at this time, those that are careless and cold, Lord, we would ask thee to speak to them. We know that you can follow them wherever they are. And Lord, our prayer would be that even this Sabbath evening, that you'll speak to them of the things of God, cause them to be concerned even through circumstances. Lord, cause them to be troubled. Help them to realise their own mortality, that they're not going to be here even upon this earth forever. Lord, we want to pray that you'll encourage the people of God in the days in which we're found. We recognise, Father, there's so much to discourage our hearts, so much discouragement, so many attacks upon the gospel and upon the word of God, the truths of the scriptures. Lord, we ask that you'll enable us to keep our eyes upon the Saviour. Your word says, hope thou in God. And Lord, we pray that our trust and our confidence will ever be in the Lord. We remember that you're still the same, no change. Jehovah knows. Lord, we want to pray that you'll reveal yourself to us even more, draw us closer. We pray for deeper communion with thee. Lord, we ask thee to lead us on in our prayer times. And our cry, Father, even this Sabbath night as a congregation, is that the blessing of God will come down upon this city of Armagh. May the blessing of God come down even upon this land of ours at this time. We're conscious, Father, that there's no restraint with thee to save by many or by few. We know, Father, that you're not limited by numbers. We think of the greatness of your power. The Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. No limits to your power. Lord, display your power amongst us tonight. May we see the arm of God made bare in this incoming week. We pray, Father, that we'll witness God at work. Lord, we ask you to hear our prayers. We remember those in authority in this land. We want to pray that they'll have godly fear. They'll have a concern about spiritual things. Lord, we see the tide going out. We see the moral and spiritual decline there is in this land. And Lord, we need thee to turn the hearts of the people. Turn us, O God, and we shall be turned. And we pray we'll see that turning of the tide take place. We ask thee, Father, to bless our congregations tonight across the land. Encourage them. We pray, Father, that there'll be a work done in the saving of souls. Help us, Lord, amidst all the difficulties and trials, help us to never lose sight of the souls to be won for Christ, the souls to be brought to the Saviour. Lord, ever make us a soul-winning church. Pray that you'll bless every gospel meeting where the gospel is plainly, faithfully preached across the land tonight. May we hear the sound of abundance of rain. Want to pray, Father, for the work of our college. How we thank you for it, all the young men and women in the college. We pray that you'll increase their number. Lord, we pray that you'll send us others. We remember that your word says that we're to teach others. And we want to pray, Father, that you'll send others into the Whitfield College, help the lecturers, those that have the oversight of that work. Remember the building program, the planning application to be submitted. Pray that you'll prosper it, that it will find favour and grace before the eyes of those that have the authority of approving that application. Pray that you'll prosper that building work. Remember how you prospered Nehemiah, the God of heaven. He will prosper us. And Lord, we look to thee to prosper the building of these new facilities for the Whitfield College. But Lord, our prayer most of all is not just for the physical building, but the building up of the work of God, the workers and the labourers needed to send forth into the great harvest fields of the world. And Lord, we want to cry even to thee tonight that you'll send forth labourers. So hear our prayers. Do be with us, Father, now. We pray, help us. Help us as we lead the meeting. Help us especially in the preaching of your precious word. We offer these our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read a few verses together, please, from the Gospel of Mark. Mark's Gospel, chapter 12. There's just a short section that we're going to read together. We're beginning to read at the verse 28. And we're going to read together down to the end of verse 37. So Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, and the 28th verse. And let's hear God's word. Mark 12 and 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbour as himself, is more than whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord. And whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. So ending there tonight, the close of the 37th verse. And we're sure the Lord will follow with his own blessing the public reading of his word. We take a moment to bid you welcome. We're glad to have you with us at the gospel service. Remember the importance of the evening gospel meeting, the emphasis on the proclamation, the preaching of the good news of the gospel, the emphasis upon bringing souls in to God's house to hear the words of eternal life, words whereby they might be saved. Take these meetings upon your heart, pray much for them, that God will bless them, that the Lord will use these meetings, that they'll be fruitful times. We encourage you to think of others that you can bring along to the service with you. We want to always, as a church, be engaged in that great soul-winning work. Just to mention, especially for those that weren't with us this morning, the dedication that was planned for tonight of little Annie Grace Quinn, that has been postponed for a few weeks because some of the family have had to isolate because of the COVID virus. So do please remember both of the family circles there in your prayers. In the will of the Lord, that dedication will take place at the beginning of December. Remember the meetings, please, through the week. Keep them in your prayers. Tuesday night at 6:45, we have the children's bright hours, the two meetings, the bright hour here in the church, and also down in the band hall in Killaloe. Wednesday the 8th is the prayer meeting, the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. I'm preaching myself at that meeting, God willing, and it will be the third and what we expect to be the final message in that little series of the message of the gates of Jerusalem. I do remember the radio broadcast, pray for it, 3:00 on Wednesday afternoon, Radio Star Country, and anyone that you're speaking to, make that known to them. Friday night at 8 is the meeting of the Youth Fellowship. Remember, it's for secondary school children upwards. Want to encourage all the young people to come along and encourage our youth leaders. The Lord willing, this Friday night, I'll be speaking to the young people myself. Next Lord's Day, the 14th, Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:40, the morning service 11:30, the evening gospel meeting 6:30. It will be our remembrance service, next Lord's Day's Remembrance Sunday. Our brother David Bell and I will be going down to the cenotaph in the morning to represent the church this year. The arrangement says that just two, it was normally three. Remember last year there was no service at the cenotaph, so they're just inviting two members from each church to come to represent their congregation. So we'll be down just for the act of remembrance. There's going to be an open-air service that will be held afterwards rather than going to one of the churches, but time will dictate that we'll have to come back up just for the service here. So remember us as we do that, our brother David and I, and then our own remembrance service next Sunday evening. We'll not have a wreath laying as we did last year. We will have an act of remembrance just in the course of the service next Sunday night. So please make that known. We know that there are many who want to come along to services such as that that perhaps don't come at any other time or very many other times of the year. So use the opportunity to encourage others along to the gospel service next Sunday night. I hope to be speaking at both of those services myself. Remember the data protection policy. We ask you just to bring the forms back that you've received. Return those, please, as soon as possible. Remember to the list for the senior citizens of the congregation, just in preparation for the Christmas gift this year. Take a little look at that, and if your name needs to be added, put it on there as soon as you can, or let Wesley and Laura know about that. Remember the new daily reading book that has been produced by Dr. Barnes and Pastor Maxwell from messages of the late Dr. Alan Cairns. Remember, Friday past was the anniversary of Dr. Cairns' home calling. Hard to believe just that a year has gone past. So Mr. Barnes looked through many of Dr. Cairns' messages. They have been summarised, pressed down onto one page, and there's 366 of them to see you through a year. So those are now available. It's very nicely presented, a lovely picture of Dr. Cairns on the front. There's a short biography at the beginning of the book as well. We want to commend it to you. There's copies available. It was launched on Thursday night at the special memorial service down in Ballymoney. They're priced £15 each, and all of the proceeds are going to the Deborah House in Romania. Think of gifts even coming up to this Christmas time. You may find this appropriate to purchase for others. If you do take a copy or copies, there's sheets there just at the doors. Please put your name down and the number of copy or copies that you take with you. Remember the Reverend Patterson, the Reverend Andrew Patterson from the Kilkeel Church. Friday night past, the presbytery, he accepted the call to the Market Hill congregation. This incoming week, the 11th of November, he will be 10 years down in Kilkeel. It was stated on Friday night that he was installed there on the 11th of the 11th, 2011. So almost 10 years. He will have just over that done by the time he's installed into the Market Hill Church. They're planning for an installation service on Thursday night, the 2nd of December in Market Hill. So remember the Reverend Patterson, the Market Hill, the Kilkeel churches in your prayers, and also the Reverend Gregory McCammon, whose father Desmond was called home during the past weeks. We want to sympathise with the Reverend McCammon, and we ask you to keep him in your prayers, please. We're going to sing again together. 253, Almost Persuaded, Now to Believe, Almost Persuaded, Christ to Receive. Keep in mind the words as you sing them. They are in keeping with the theme of the gospel message tonight. So it's just three verses, 253, and we'll stand to sing, please. Turn again, please, to Mark chapter 12. We'll take a moment just to pray. Father, we do seek thee at the throne of grace. How we rejoice, Father, the way is always open. You're never wearied by our often coming to thee. Your word says that we're to pray without ceasing. We pray, Father, give to each of us a greater desire to seek thee at the throne of grace. We ask thee to remember the Quinn and the Gibson family circles tonight. Just be with them, watch over them. Those that are unwell, pray they'll know the touch of God. We pray you'll encourage their hearts. We know the disappointment of not being able to have the dedication of little Annie Grace held tonight. But we pray, Father, that you'll encourage their hearts. We know that you're sovereign in all of these things. And we pray even that these events might fall out onto the furtherance of the gospel, the winning of souls to the Saviour. We're mindful, Father, tonight also of Mrs. Cairns. We know even how sad her heart will be, the mixed feelings that she will have at this time, even in the memorial there on Thursday night past. Pray that you'll bless and use this book that has been produced, the labour that has gone into it. Your word speaks of those who being dead and yet speaketh. And Lord, we want to pray that you'll continue to use the ministry of your servant, both in the written form, the audio form, so many messages that are found there in sermon audio. And Lord, we want to pray just that even as a reminder of our brother's sudden call from this scene of time, that you'll help us all to redeem our time. Lord, help us to be earnest and zealous in the service of the Master. Be with us around the word tonight. Pray, Father, use the message. Want to pray that you'll visit us in this house tonight with salvation. Our desire, Father, is to be used. Remember John Wesley said, "Let me not live to be useless." Lord, let that be our desire and our prayer to ever to be useful in the service of the Master. So, Lord, bless us. Make us a blessing now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The verse, especially, is verse 34. John 12 and 34. When Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, that is unto this scribe that he was having a discourse with, he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any question. The words especially there, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." The theme of the message tonight is the conversion of John Wesley. We thought last Sunday night, Reformation Sabbath evening, the conversion of Thomas Bilney, Little Bilney, as he was affectionately known, 1 Timothy 1:15, the text that brought him to the Saviour. Well, this is the text of Scripture that brought John Wesley to Christ. And I want us to think a little of his life, some of the details. I'll tell you the story of how John Wesley was converted, and then we'll seek to apply the message of this verse to hearts in the meeting tonight. John Wesley was born on the 17th of June, way back in 1703. So June past was the 318th anniversary of his birth. What I want to do tonight especially is not so much think of his physical birth. I want us to consider his second birth. I want to show you tonight, men and women, how he was born again of the Spirit of God. Let me tell you some of the things that he did in his unconverted days. And some of the things that John Wesley did were very surprising things indeed. John Wesley studied at Oxford University, and then he taught there. He was very able, had great ability. He taught at Oxford for a little while, and then he went to Epworth. His father was the vicar at Epworth, and he served as his father's curate, or his father's assistant in the parish at Epworth for a little while, and then he decided to return to Oxford University again. When he went back to Oxford that time, he found his brother Charles and two others who were meeting together regularly. So John decided that he would join this little religious group, and soon he became their leader. And then the number that was attending or supporting that meeting increased, until they were meeting 7 nights a week. Every night of the week they were gathering together. They had the Lord's table, they engaged in prayer, they read the New Testament scriptures, studied them together, and they especially read the New Testament scriptures in Greek. They fasted twice a week. They also engaged in all kinds of charity. The Bible says of the Lord Jesus that he went about doing good. And so did these men. They taught the poor children in the workhouses. They visited the sick. They visited the prisoners. They read to them, especially reading to them from the Bible. They also denied themselves. They denied themselves things in this life that they really wanted. And they did that so that they could save money to buy food and medicine for the poor, and also to pay the debts of the poor. That little group, as it grew and increased, it was called by many names. It was called the Holy Club. It was called the Bible Bigots. It was called the Bible Moths. But finally, they were called the Methodists. And that was because of the disciplined or the methodical life that they lived. That was very clear and discernible by all that looked upon them. And that's the name that stuck or fastened with them, the Methodists. And remember, in that whole list that I've given you, they were doing all of those things, but they were still not saved. They still didn't know Christ as their Saviour. And maybe there's somebody here in the service tonight. You're known for your charity. You're known for your kindness. You're known for your good works. You're known for your help of others. And I want to say to you tonight that that's very commendable. It's very commendable to live in such a selfless manner. But I want to warn you that that will not get you into heaven. Paul teaches very clearly in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 that salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. It doesn't matter what description can be put upon those works, what kind of works they are, whether good or religious or charitable works. You can't work your way into heaven. John Wesley was asked to go to America. He was invited to go to the state of Georgia. He was invited to go there to be chaplain to the governor. So he sailed out to America in October 1735. There was three others that went with him, including his brother Charles. The Holy Club, on his departure for America, at that time numbered 14. So the numbers had increased. And at that time they included George Whitfield, who would be raised up of God to be a mighty evangelist as well. Charles Wesley didn't stay long in America. He didn't settle. He returned to England after approximately 6 months. I don't want to go into that story tonight. Our focus this evening is on his brother John. John, when he was in America, he lived in Savannah and also Frederica. And there he met a young lady. Her name was Miss Sophia Hopke, Miss Sophie, as he called her. She was just 18, and he was then 33 years of age. They spent a lot of time together. They became romantically attracted. But John Wesley didn't know what to do. He dithered. In fact, that characterized his relationship with ladies right throughout his life. John Wesley, if you read the story, read his biography, he made an absolute mess when it came to relationship with ladies, and an absolute mess of marriage itself. The governor there in Georgia at that time thought he should marry Miss Sophie. Wesley wasn't so sure. So what did he do? Well, he drew lots. That was a frequent practice during his entire lifetime. And when he drew lots, the lot said, "Think of it no more." So he broke off the relationship. He let the relationship end. She waited for a little while just in case he changed his mind. Then she eventually met and married another. And Wesley did try to interfere in the other relationship when Miss Sophie met this other gentleman. You see, his outlook was if he couldn't have her, he tried to make sure that nobody else could have her. Now, just in the light of all of that, let me take a moment to emphasize to the young people, you need to be careful. You need to be very careful about who you marry. That's one of the great matters in life that very carefully, very earnestly, you need to pray over for the Lord's very clear and definite direction. John Wesley, he actually raised some concerns about Miss Sophie taking communion. Her husband took exception to it. And her husband sued him, sued John Wesley, sued him for damages of £1,000. Now, you will understand that was a lot of money away back then. And that, men and women, was the background in which John Wesley left America, never to return to the United States again. By contrast, George Whitefield travelled to America, crossed the Atlantic 7 times, and on the 7th preaching tour of America, he died and is buried in North America in a place called Newburyport. John Wesley kept a diary and a journal. And on the ship, when he was sailing back from America, crossing over the Atlantic, this is what he recorded in his journal. I went to America to convert the Indians, but who shall convert me? Isn't that staggering? Quite unbelievable. He went as a missionary to the Red Indians, but at the time, and he admitted it in that entry in his journal, he wasn't even converted himself. I wonder, is that true? Somebody here in the service tonight. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you're a church officer, church leader. You hold meetings, you preach the word, but you're not saved. You know in your heart of hearts that you're not right with God. Remember, even in the days of the New Testament, think of our Lord's earthly ministry. Think of Judas Iscariot, one of the apostolic band, went on preaching tours with the other apostles, but he wasn't converted spiritually. He was still in the dark. And so it is, men and women. And John Wesley's an example of it. You can hold the highest office in the church and still be out of Christ. You can hold high office in the church and still be in danger of going to hell, going to a lost eternity. So I want to stress to you tonight, you need to be saved. You need to be converted. Whenever John Wesley returned to England, the first text that he took to preach on was the words of 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's not a remarkable choice of a text to preach on, especially for one that was still in the sins, one that was still in nature's darkness. John Wesley met the Moravians, met them on the journey on the way out to America. The Moravians were believers that came originally from Bohemia. That's a western region in what is now known as the Czech Republic. Remember that John Huss came from that region. The Moravians had a great influence on John Wesley. They had a great influence on his whole life. One of them in particular, a man called Peter Boller, was used of God to lead John Wesley into the knowledge of the truth of the gospel. They often conversed together. Sometimes they conducted those conversations in Latin. So that will give you some idea of his learning, of his ability. They spoke together for 9 weeks. Boller emphasized to John Wesley the necessity of faith in the matter of salvation. And I want to emphasize that to you tonight, men and women, in this meeting. Remember those words again of Paul's in Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. You need to put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Remember the words of the old hymn, only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. Peter Buller brought along some other Christians to testify to John Wesley. And they really spoke to him. So he was sitting listening to these words of testimony, stories of conversion. He actually said his comment on them was he was thunderstruck. And at the end of the meeting, his eyes was filled with tears. And then he got some news that really spoke to him. He got the news that his brother Charles was saved. Charles had been converted. And that really moved him, really moved his heart at that time. Maybe the same has been true for you. You have heard the news of a relative, a friend, a neighbour that has been converted, brought to Christ. And that really spoke to the change in their life, the great change that took place. But still you're not saved yourself. Still you haven't come to Christ in salvation. Then what happened, men and women, was this: the glorious day of John Wesley's own conversion arrived. It was the 24th of May, 1738. He was almost 35 years of age at the time. Just about another 10 days was his 35th birthday. Now keep in mind, men like Robert Murray McShane, David Brainerd, Henry Martin, they all died when they were around 29 or 30 years of age. Their life was over. Their life's work complete. Left their mark for God at a very young age. John Wesley was 35 or almost when he came to Christ. He had a habit during his lifetime that he followed for years. And the habit was that he would just open the Bible randomly and he would put his finger down upon the page. And the first text that he found on the page, that was God's message to his heart. That's not a good thing to do. It's not a good practice to follow. You want God to speak to you from the Bible, what you need to do is regularly, daily, systematically, read through the Word of God. Do you remember that story of the man that was looking for guidance? And that's what he did. He opened the Bible one day and he put his finger down on the page. And the verse that he read was that Judas went and hanged himself. He wasn't so impressed with that, so he closed the Bible and opened it again and put his finger down again. And the verse that he read was, go and do thou likewise. So it put the notion of looking for guidance from the Lord in that manner out of his head. But you know, the Lord overruled as far as John Wesley was concerned, because he opened the scriptures that day at this text, Mark 12 and 34. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And so it was, men and women, because before that very day closed, John Wesley was a converted man. That very night he went to a society meeting in Aldersgate Street in the city of London. He wasn't that keen on going. In fact, he says himself in the account that he gave us of his conversion, he went on willingly. How many could say the same? Went along to a gospel meeting, weren't willing to go. Maybe that's true of you tonight. You came to the meeting, came under constraint, came unwillingly. You didn't want to be here. Maybe it was the last place on earth that you wanted to be. I want you to know, men and women, despite that, you can still be saved. Your life can be changed in this meeting tonight. In that meeting that John Wesley went along to in Aldersgate Street, they were reading from Martin Luther's commentary to the Romans. They were reading the preface of his commentary on the Epistle to the Romans. And at 9:15, he knew the time, he noted it, just like Paul said about midday. Well, it was at 9:15 in the evening. Some people don't know the time. That's not the all-important thing, men and women. It's nice to know the time, but it's not the important thing. But at 9:15 in the evening, John Wesley said, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation. And an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine. And so it was that night that John Wesley was converted to Christ. Thou art not far from the kingdom. The Lord laid that text on my heart for this service tonight. Maybe it's a text for someone here in the gathering, maybe even more than one person in this meeting. Maybe these words are true of you, as you said in the gospel service tonight. The Lord has been working. The Lord has been working in your life. He's been working in your heart. You have been exercised about your soul. You have been exercised about spiritual and eternal things. You're very concerned about eternity, about your soul in the light of eternity. Maybe as the Spirit has been working, you feel your sinfulness. You've been asking questions of maybe Christian friends, Christian family members. You've been reading your Bible, searching for answers. You've been more frequently coming along to gospel meetings. You're not far from God's salvation. You're very close to getting saved. This text tonight, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. This text is a very clear description of where you are spiritually at this time. And you know that that was not always so. There was a time that you were far away from God. Paul said to the Ephesians, ye that once were afar off, and maybe you were at a time far off, very far off. Remember the prodigal in the far country? And maybe you have been there too, been there spiritually in the far country. He was as far away from his father as possible. And maybe you've been as far away from your heavenly father as possible. You've been in a horrible pit, trampled underfoot the blood of Christ. Maybe you've been like Esau, a profane person. You know that there was a time you were far away. There was a time you'd never want to be in gospel meetings. There was a time you wouldn't have wanted to have been here. There wouldn't have been a chance of you being in a meeting like this. But that's not your condition tonight. And if it is, men and women, it's a blessing. You're not far from the kingdom. That's the goodness of God that has brought you to that place. But listen, let's just still our hearts for a moment and listen carefully. Not far from the kingdom. That's a very dangerous condition, men and women. Oh, it's encouraging. It's a blessing that you're almost there. But it's a very, very dangerous condition. You ask why? Well, because although you're not far from the kingdom, the reality is you're still outside the kingdom. You're not in the kingdom of God. You're still out of Christ. You're still not a believer. You still haven't received God's so great salvation. And that's the reason why it's very dangerous. Let me be candid with you tonight. The reality is you can still be lost. You can still perish out of Christ. You think of the Titanic. Many that night could have said, not far from the lifeboat. But still they were lost. Still they perished. And you are not far from being saved. But you can still be lost, my friend. You can still go to hell. Think of Judas. Judas was so near. He kissed the very door of heaven. Just think of that. And yet went to a lost eternity. Think of Abner. He was at the very gate of the city of refuge, the very gate of the city of Hebron. Another step or two and he would have been in the place of safety. But he perished at the very gate, so near and yet so far. Think of Lot's wife. The Bible gives that solemn warning. Remember Lot's wife. And one of the things that God wants us to remember about Lot's wife is where she perished. She perished at the very gate of Zoar, at the very gate of the place of safety. And men and women, the reality, the warning, you could perish there as well. John Wesley, not far from the kingdom. But that day, the 24th day of May, 1738, he came to Christ. And you know, men and women, that is not always so. Those who are not far from the kingdom don't always press into the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus spoke these words to a scribe. But there's no record here. There's no mention in the chapter that he ever came to Christ, that he took that step of coming to put his trust in Jesus Christ. You think of Agrippa, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost, we sang it, to not avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad that bitter wheel. Almost, but lost. I want you to think of that tonight, men and women. You never read that Agrippa came through for Christ. So that's the great danger, as the hymn writer said. You can be almost persuaded, but be lost. Go to a lost eternity. Just think tonight of how awful to be in sight of the place of safety and yet perish, still perish in your sins. And that's your danger tonight, men and women. So you need to press into the kingdom of God. Don't delay. Don't hesitate any longer. Flee to Christ. Flee to Him immediately. Flee for safety. Flee for salvation. Let me finish just by telling you this. The Moravian Peter Boller, he left for America before John Wesley was converted. In fact, he left to go to America before either of the Wesley brothers was converted. And he wrote a letter to John Wesley. And in the letter he included these words. Listen carefully. Delay not, I beseech you, to believe in your Jesus Christ. So men and women, I want to make the same earnest entreaty to you tonight. Delay not, I beseech you, to believe in Jesus Christ. Don't delay. Don't delay any longer. You need to enter into Christ. Enter into the blessing of His salvation. Enter into the kingdom of God. And you need to do that now. Tonight, even in this gospel meeting. While you still have time. And while you still have opportunity. It says that He said, Jesus said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. It's our prayer tonight the Lord will use that text. He'll write it powerfully upon your heart and use it to bring you through for the Saviour this evening. But we're going to sing 242. It's just a verse or two. Sinner, how thy heart is troubled. We've mentioned that in the meeting tonight. God is drawing very near. Do not hide thy deep emotion. Do not check that falling tear. O be saved, His grace is free. O be saved, He died for thee. And think of the words of the third verse. Art thou waiting? You know that you need to do it tonight. Some hold back. Art thou waiting till tomorrow? Thou mayest never see its light. Come at once. That's the great appeal we make to you. Come at once, accept His mercy. He is waiting. Come tonight. So verses 1, 3 and 5. We'll leave out 2 and 4. Of the hymn 242. And we're standing as we sing, please.
Oh,
Let's just bow together in prayer. Think of the words of the text, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And the verse 3, the end of the verse says, "Come at once." That's the message of God to your heart tonight. Come at once. Accept His mercy. He is waiting. Come tonight. So when's the time to be saved? When's the time to get right with God? Tonight, my friend. The earlier part of that verse of the hymn says, as far as tomorrow's concerned, you might never see its light. You need to be saved now, while the door of opportunity is still open to you. Let's just seek the Lord together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gospel service. What a blessing it is to have a meeting such as this. What a blessing in our land, Father, that there are such meetings held in many places all across the province. Lord, we want to pray that many more such meetings will be conducted in coming days. We ask, Father, that you'll add to the work of God. We want to pray that you'll bless the preaching of the gospel. We want to pray that you'll bless our Sabbath evening services. Lord, we pray that you'll add to them. We pray that you'll use them. We pray that this house, these meetings, will be a place where souls are won to Christ in salvation. So we're asking, Father, use your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for His power, His speaking voice. We rejoice that He strives. We pray in mercy. Lord, strive on in the hearts of those that are still without Christ. And we're praying, Father, that it will please Thee to use us as a church in the bringing of many to the Saviour. So hear our prayers. Go with us now. Keep your hand upon us. And we pray that unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, our Saviour, the glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and evermore, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.